episode 108. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. You'll probably have one or more ints in almost every method in class you write. They're everywhere, so you really should know how to use them. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. Int is short for integer, and that means they can hold whole numbers, including zero. And just like the chars and bytes from the previous episode, an int can hold negative numbers if it's signed. There's a lot of history around ints, and knowing this can help you better understand the differences surrounding ints. There's a lot more variations of ints than there are chars and bytes. Let's start out then with the word. The way I always understood word was that it matched the basic width of the processor, and while this definition might still be valid for the processors themselves, a lot of prior software assumes that a word is 16 bits. You can find 32-bit systems today that define a word to be 32 bits, and you can also find 64-bit systems that define a word to be 64 bits. While I like this system because it gives a nice name to the width of the data that the processor can handle natively, I have to say that I've personally had a lot more experience on systems where the word got stuck at 16 bits. So if a word is stuck at 16 bits, then what do we call a 32-bit value on a 32-bit system? It's called a double word, or a D word for short. You probably want to avoid calling it a double word because a double is another data type that I'll explain in an upcoming episode. Calling it a D word avoids this confusion. And what is a 64-bit value called on a 64-bit system when the word is still defined to be 16 bits? That's a quad word, or a Q word, for short. And what will we call a 128-bit value when 128-bit processors become more common? If we follow the same pattern, then it'll probably be called a double quad word, or a DQ word for short. It would have probably been much better if the simple term word had advanced in software like it did on the hardware side in modern computers. Because of this, even the term word must be questioned and defined to make sure everybody agrees what they're talking about. You normally don't have a built-in data type in languages called a word, though. I explained it because it's used in programming as a definition for some other type. You may actually see a D word, usually spelled in all uppercase letters when programming, and now you'll know some history behind it and can know to check exactly what type it really means. Usually it'll be 32 bits. What most languages do support is the int. But we can't just stop with a simple int, not when we have all this confusion around words. So to even things out a bit, there's short ints, sometimes called just a short. There's the int itself. There's a long int type, sometimes just called a long. And then there's a fairly new type called a long long. I don't know what to make of that name. The language designers must have wanted to go home quickly when it came time to come up with a new name. What all this means is really just extra confusion. About the only thing you can say for sure is that a short will be smaller or maybe the same size as an int, and then an int will be smaller or maybe the same size as a long, and that a long will be smaller or maybe the same size as a long long. These are all relative sizes and don't really say much. You can also safely assume that both a short and an int will be at least 16 bits, and that a long will be at least 32 bits, and that a long long will be at least 64 bits. Just because an int must be at least 16 bits, though, doesn't mean that's the common length. I'll explain more right after this message from our sponsor. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to the number 44222 now. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. As processors have advanced from 8 bits, and if I remember right, some of the very early satellites even use 4-bit processors. Wow, I have a hard time imagining what that code looked like. Anyway, as processors have advanced from 8 bits to 16 bits to 32 bits, and now mostly 64 bits, one thing actually did advance right along with the bitness, and that's been the size of pointers. You can safely assume that a pointer will match the capability of your operating system, starting with 32 bits anyway. This means that even if you have a 64-bit processor, but are running an operating system that only knows about 32 bits, then your pointers will still be 32 bits. You can't run a 64-bit capable operating system on a machine that only has 32 bits, but you can run a 32-bit operating system on a machine that has 64 bits. And if you ever find a copy of Windows 3.1 running in a museum, then it'll be a 16-bit operating system, but with 32-bit pointers. I would assume that 128-bit computers will support pointers of 128 bits also. I don't have access to 128-bit computers to verify this, and certainly don't have access to a 128-bit operating system. So what's all this about pointers have to do with ints? Well, this is actually a common problem with porting 32-bit code over to 64 bits. Back when 32-bit computers were still new, it was common for ints to also be 32 bits. And many developers made the mistake of writing code that assumed a pointer value could be stored safely in an int and then converted back to a pointer when needed. This worked fine when both ints and pointers were 32 bits. But as soon as 64-bit operating systems became available and defined pointers to be 64 bits, then this assumption no longer worked out so well. Trying to squeeze 64 bits into 32 means that some of the bits are going to get cut off. Beyond just pointers and ints, though, mistakes can be made with longs and ints, and sometimes even with shorts and ints. In order to help keep things straight, 4 common names appeared to describe the lengths of all these types. The names might at first seem like just a bunch of letters and numbers, but there is a system. And this is one of the reasons why I started out describing pointer lengths. The first system is called LP32, and this means that longs and pointers are 32 bits. In this system, since ints and shorts are left out of the name, that means they're both 16 bits. You have to go back to Windows 3.1 to find this system. Windows 3.1 is a 16-bit operating system that runs on a 32-bit computer. The next system is called ILP32, and this means that ints, longs, and pointers are all 32 bits. Since short is left out, then a short is 16 bits. This is the system used by 32-bit versions of Windows, Linux, and Mac computers. Beginning with 64-bit operating systems, we have the next system called LLP64, and this means that long longs and pointers are 64 bits. Since ints and longs are left out, they're both 32 bits. Shorts are also left out of the name, but they normally get stuck at 16 bits by now. This is the system used by 64-bit versions of Windows, probably because it was already hard enough to fix all the problems between 32-bit ints and 64-bit pointers that the designers didn't also want to introduce problems between ints and longs, too. So in this system, both ints and longs stayed at 32 bits. The last system is found in modern Linux and Mac computers and is called LP64, which means longs and pointers are 64 bits. In this system, shorts are still stuck at 16 bits, ints remain at 32 bits, and longs, long longs, and pointers are all 64 bits. And very rarely, you might actually come across a fifth system called ILP64. And this means that ints, longs, long longs, and pointers are all 64 bits. I have no idea what length the short would be in this system. You might find this type of system running on a supercomputer. If there's one thing that stands out to me about all these systems, it has to be that last fifth system. Just think about it for a moment and realize that the computer you have packaged into a portable 15-inch by 12-inch by maybe 1-inch thick, complete with a battery capable of lasting anywhere from 7 to 12 hours or more, is approaching the specs of older supercomputers. Well, I had wanted to tie all this together with the topic from yesterday about chars and bytes, but it's already getting kind of long. And it's a lot to absorb about words, shorts, ints, longs, long longs, pointers, etc. So I'll continue tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.